Today's shiur is Masechta Gittin Daf Nun. We will begin on Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, the bottom line, Itmar, or of the Ksuba. Just to familiarize ourselves with certain concepts, there's somebody called an Orev, who is a guarantor. The definition of a guarantor is that if someone accepts upon himself that if the malver, if the loiver will default, then he will accept to pay the debt due, is called an Orev. And then the halacha speaks about an Orev Kablin. An Orev Kablin is someone who accepts upon himself to pay, whether the person who's responsible to pay defaults or doesn't default. He accepts upon himself payment under all circumstances. Says our Gemara, Orev de Ksuba. So somebody is an Orev to a Ksuba. He's not obligated to honor his guarantee. And there are two reasons, as we will learn in our Gemara. One reason is because since he only is an Orif, he only accepted upon himself responsibility if the husband defaults, and he doesn't really assume that the husband will default his obligation, and therefore it's not considered a true obligation. And secondly, typically somebody becomes a guarantor where there's a malvin aloiva, and the malvin is taking money out of his pocket to loan to the loiva. And that's what the Orev is here to say to the malva, that if the loiva will not be able to pay back, I'll stand off for you. However, in the case of a woman entering into a marriage where she is obligated to receive a ksuba, she hasn't given up anything in order to have this obligation. And therefore, says the Gemara, he's not obligated. There is a machloikis rishonim. If somebody accepted upon themselves arvis, but that the arvis that they accepted upon themselves was made with a kinyan, it wasn't just a verbal arvis, will the same din apply, that it's not considered a halachic obligation? Or perhaps since it was backed up with a kinyan, there the halacha will be that it's considered an obligation even if it's just an arvis. Actually, subject of a machlokes rishonim. Continues the Gemara. In a situation of a kablin de bal chayiv. So as we said earlier, a kablin is a person that accepted upon himself obligation under all circumstances, even if the loiva does not default. There everybody agrees, the rehakol mishtabit, it's considered a full-fledged obligation. For here you have two things. Number one, he accepted upon himself a very strong commitment. He accepted upon himself that even if the loiva doesn't default, he has to pay back. And number two, it's about chayiv, where the malva did take money out of his pocket to loan to the loiva, and therefore everybody agrees that this is considered a obligation. What is the shaila? Orev de bal chayiv. The question is, if somebody is an orev, but it's in a situation of it's only about chayiv, it's about chayiv, but he's only an orev, not an orev kablin, or he's a kablin de ksuba. So he has the status of being a kablin, not just an orev, but it's a ksuba where the wife hasn't expended anything into this relationship. Says the Gemara Pligi, that's the subject of a machloikis tanoim that we learned in the previous shiur. That's the cases of the machloikis. Ikla mandama, the Gemara explains, the afgav de lesle nichse leloiva, that even in a case where the loiva or the husband do not have property of the time of the guarantee, still mishtabid, the guarantee is, in these cases, is considered a guarantee. Vehicle mandam, then as another mandam, e islay, if the husband or the creditor have, or the borrower have money, then these are considered full-fledged obligation, mishtabid. Vilesley, but if they don't have, lemishtabid, it's not considered an obligation. And the Mefarshim I saw two pshatim in the Rishonim to explain this distinction, whether if the loiva or the husband have money versus if he doesn't have money. One pshat is fairly simple. A person will not enter into such a guarantee unless he's quite certain that the person who's obligated to pay will have the ability to pay. So if he has the ability to pay, the husband or the borrower, then we could assume that this guarantee that he accepted upon himself was serious, was real. If, on the other hand, he doesn't have what to pay, then we don't really believe that it was serious. But then I saw another pshat in the Rishonim. If someone is a wealthy person, Baruch Hashem, and he asks someone else to be a guarantor for him in a transaction that he is entering, that is something that's of great honor. Baruch Hashem, you're a very wealthy person. You could have anyone guarantee your business deals, and you asked me to be the guarantor. That is something that brings me great honor and satisfaction, and therefore we could assume that I was serious in accepting upon myself this guarantee. However, in a situation where the person who is entering the transaction is a person who doesn't have means, it's no great honor to be asked to be a guarantor into such a business transaction, and therefore we could assume that I really didn't mean it. V'helchasa, says the Gemara, the halach is, b'kula, in all situation, afagav de lesley, even if the borrower does not have money to pay back the loan at the time of the loan, the halach is mishtabid, the arev, or certainly the arev kablan, becomes obligated, ba me arev de ksuba, except for the situation where somebody is an arev to a ksuba. The afagav de islay, that even if the husband has money to pay the ksuba, loim shtabit, still the arev does not become obligated. My tama, as we explained, mitzvah hu David, he's only doing it to help to encourage the couple to get married, and that's why he accepts upon himself this arvis. And furthermore, as we said, v'loim midei chasra, the wife isn't taking out anything from her pocket into this relationship, and therefore the halacha is, given these two reasons, we assume that he did not really mean to accept upon himself the arvus. And as Tosfos explains, both reasons that our Gemara just mentioned are the factors to take into consideration why arvus in a ksuba will not be effective. And therefore, says Tosfos, if any of those circumstances would not be here, for example, says Tosfos, let's say a person accepted upon himself the arvus after they already married, so we can't say that he accepted upon himself the arvus in order to encourage them to get married. They're married anyway. Or if the woman did take money out of her pocket into entering the relationship, a situation that we've discussed many times in Masechta Ksubis, where she accepted upon herself, where she brought in a nadin, she brought a dowry into the marriage. Given that both reasons that the Gemara said why the arvus is not effective don't apply in the two cases we just mentioned, there, says Tosfos, even an arv de ksuba would be mishtapit. The Ritva seems to say that even though the Gemara says both reasons, the main reason that the Gemara is focused on, says the Ritva, is did the woman spend money or not? If she spent money, then the arvus is real. If not, the arvus is not considered real. And with this we could understand our minig. The minig is that by a chasna in the ksuba, as we're learning now in the Gemara, there is no place for arvus, for guarantors. But in the tanoim that are written before, there are place for orev, orev kablin. Why? Because in the ksuba only speaks about the obligation of the husband to the wife. There is no financial obligation mentioned in the ksuba from the wife to the husband. And since there is no such financial obligation, lo chasra dava, and that's why arvus isn't effective. However, in the Nusach of the Tanoim, it speaks about the obligations of the husband's side to the wife, and of the wife's side to the husband. So here we already have a situation where the wife's side are obligating themselves, and if the wife's side is also obligating, then the arvus is effective. Mazutra taught us in the previous year that even though our Mishnah says that a ksuba is paid from Zaburius, so Mazutra said, as we know, a marriage can be terminated in one of two ways. It can be terminated if the husband, Rahman Slam, passes away, or it can be terminated if the husband divorces his wife. Says Mazutra, if the marriage was terminated because the husband passed away, and the Yisoimim are paying the Ksuba, then the Ksuba is paid from Zaburius. However, if the marriage was terminated because the husband divorced his wife, so the husband is still alive, there the Ksuba is paid from Beinonis. Says our Gemara, we will now prove that Mazutra is incorrect. Because Omer Ravina, Toshma, let's understand, Mikar de Tekantin, when Chazal said that a woman collects her Ksuba from Zaburius, why? Because they said, Yosef Mashi Ish Roitz Elisa, Ish Roitz Linasi. A woman is more anxious to get married than a man. And therefore, in order to help women get married, Chazal said that they should get a ksuba from Zaburius in order that they should be more easily married. Visalkadaitach. If we're going to say that this din, that a ksuba is only collected from Zaburius, is strictly miyasmi, so it has nothing to do with the fact that a man wants to get married more or a woman wants to get married more. The point is, haimishim the yasmihu. The point is because we're collecting the ksuba from the assignment. The fact that the braisa doesn't say that's the reason why ksuba is collected from Zaburius. Rather, the braisa says the reason that ksuba is collected from Zaburius is because of the reason of Yosef Mash Ish Roitz Elisa, Ish Roitz Lenase, proves that under all circumstances, the ksuba is only played from the Zaburius. And Tiyufta Mazutra's distinction between who is paying the ksuba is refuted. Says the Gemara, Am Mazutra Bereid Rav Nachman Mishmeid Rav Nachman. Shtarchoiv hayoytza yisomim. If there's a shtarchoiv that a father obligated himself, father owed money to someone, and the creditor comes with the shtarchoiv, afa pishakosu bashvach, even if the ksuba clearly indicates that the father obligated to pay from idyus, from the best land, still, since the father now is not here, and the money is being collected from the Yisoimim, the halach is, ein gavel min Zaburius, we only collect from the Zaburius. However, most Rishonim point out that if the Shtar Choiv explicitly says that the father obligated himself and his Yorshim, yigva min idyus, mimeni, beim Yorshai, that's not the case our Gemara is speaking about. And in that case, everybody would agree that the Yorshim would be obligated to pay from the Idyus. Our Gemara, say most Rishonim, is referring to a case where the father obligated himself to pay from the Idyus, but he didn't mention what would be the case if he no longer wasn't here. What would be, discusses the Ksav Sofer, that the father didn't obligate himself to pay from the Idyus, but he obligated himself to pay from the Beinonis. Says the Ksav Sofer, that if he wrote Beinonis, there it's clear that he meant that his Yorshim should have to pay. And he says a beautiful explanation. He says, Idyus represents something more, something extra that the father wasn't obligated to pay. The father was only obligated to pay Beinonis. If he accepted upon himself Idyus, we could perhaps suggest that the father only meant himself, not the Yisoimim. But if he wrote into the Shtar, Beinonis, we don't need to write explicitly Beinonis. As we learned in our Mishnah already, a Bal Choiv is obligated to pay Beinonis. If he wrote into the Shtar Beinonis, it's obvious that what he was trying to accomplish was to obligate his Yisoimim to pay Beinonis. And therefore the halacha would be, says the Ksav Sofer, again, that would not be the subject of our Gemara's question, and certainly the Yesoimim would have to pay for the Beinonis. The question here is, as we said, where the father wrote that he's going to pay Igis, and the question is that an obligation that only applies to the father or also to the children? Amar Abaye, Teidam, I'll prove to you that Mazutra is right. The Balchoiv, every Balchoiv, Dine Bebeninus, Umiyasmi, yet the Yisoimim always pays the Burius, so here it shouldn't make a difference. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rava, Rava disagrees. Hachi Hashta, you can't compare the cases. Balchoiv, Dine Mideraisa Bezeburius. Mideraisa Balchoiv is only obligated to pay Zeburius. Kerula, as Ula taught us. Dama Ula, Dvatoira Mideraisa Balchoiv Bezeburius. A Balchoiv should only have to pay Zeburius. Shenemar, as the Pasuk discusses, the Torah discusses a situation where Loiva owes to a Malva, and the Loiva is not paying, and the Malva comes to the Loiva's home to get a mashkin to help force the Loiva to pay. And the Torah gives us very clear rules how that mashkin could be collected. The Torah says, "Bechutz tamid v'ishat ha-noshiba," that the Malva may not enter the home of the Loiva. He only could stand outside to request a mashkin. And if the Loiva who's inside is going to bring out a mashkin to the Malva, we could assume, says the Gemara, ma darka shalish lahaitzi, what will the loiva take out? Pacha shebekelim. So we see that the loiva's obligation are only to Zeburius. And as the Rishonim explain, here we're dealing with a situation where the loiva is defaulting. The loiva is not paying his obligation. And we're trying to get him to pay his obligation. Yet the Torah only requires him to supply Zeburius. Certainly in a situation where the loiva is paying his debt, he doesn't have to give more than Zeburius. That's one explanation, one point. But Taisus then asks, we who have been learning from the beginning of our perek the difference between Igis and Beninus and Zeburius, those distinctions only apply by karka, by real estate, not by metaltlin. So as Taisus, how is there a concept of Zeburius by metaltlin? So there are two ways of explaining Taisus's answer. One way of explaining it is, absolutely, there is no concept of Zeburius by metaltlin. So if the Torah does teach us the concept of Zeburius, it must be come to teach us that a loiva only pays Zeburius. Sort of im eino inyan. If it's not to teach us this halacha, it's come to teach us the other halacha that a loiva pays Zeburius. That's one pshat. Another pshat that I saw is as follows. Although halachically, by metaltlin, there is no difference between Igis, Beninus, and Zeburius, in reality, there certainly are better quality items and poorer quality items. And the Torah is telling us that the loiva has the choice to even pay with his poorest quality, to even give a mashkin with his poorest quality metaltlin. So why did Chazal say that Beninus should be paid? If a loiva would always be able to pay back his malva with Zeburius, it would cause that people should not want to lend money. However, Gabi Yasmi, by Yisoymin, Ekbo Rabbonan Adaraisa, the Rabbonan went back to the Raisa the Gedin, and they said they'd only have to pay Zeburius. Elohocha. But in the case where the father expressly obligated himself to pay Igis, Kivan the Dine Midarais of Igis, since the father is obligated to pay Igis, the father made such an obligation, Afil Yasmin Nami Igis, therefore even the Yisoimim have to pay from their Igis. And there are a number of approaches in the Rishonim how to understand this machlokes between Mazutra and Rava. Taisus explains that the machlokes is if we say Shibud Daraisa or not. If one accepted upon himself an obligation, is that obligation Midaraisa or not? Rava says that Shibud Daraisa, and since the father accepted upon himself this obligation, the children have to honor it, and Mazutra disagrees. However, the Tzais says it could well be that typically Mazdutra will agree that Shibud Daraisa. However, here we're not dealing with a regular Shibud. Here we're dealing with a mortgage. And since, says the Tzois, a mortgage is not really considered a full-fledged transaction. It's sort of here and there. It's still retained by the debtor, and it's also somewhat owned by the creditor because he has a lien in it. Since this is a very unique type of transaction, says the Tzois, it could be that here Mazutra will hold that Shibuda is not obligatory. In other cases, he could indeed maybe hold Shibuda Daraisa. Another way that the Rishonim explain the Machlokes is that could well be that everybody holds Shibuda Lav Daraisa. But here, since the father expressly accepted upon himself this obligation, that's why it's more than just a Shibud and the children have to pay from the Ijis. And yet, a third pshat that I saw is that it could be everybody holds that Shibuda Daraisa. So if Shibuda Daraisa, how can Mazutra say that the Yisoyimim only have to pay Zeburius? That's part of the Takonas Chazal. The Takonas Chazal made was that all Yisoyimim only pay from Zeburius under all circumstances. Ask the Gemara, Ularova, is this true for Tana Avram Chazal? And the Farshim spend time discussing this name Avram Chazal. Because you know that the Gemara says in Masechta Brachos that Kol HaKoyrei LaAvraham Avram Oyve Basay. They were not supposed to call people by the name Avram. We're supposed to call them Avraham. So how do we have here an individual called Avram? And in fact, the Maritz Chayis has a girsa because of this in our Gemara that his name should not be called Avram, but his name rather should be Avimi, because it's improper to have someone with the name Avram. That's the Maritz Chayis. However, many other Mefarshim explain that when is there a concern about the name Avram and Avram is only when we're referring to Avram Avinu. The Torah told us that his name should not be Avram. His name should be Avram. So we're not allowed to call him anything else. But here we're not speaking about Avram Avinu. We could call him Avram. Although the Menches Yitzchak and the Steichemed point out that what that means is not only if we're calling a person Avram is that then here, but says the Steichemed and the Menches Yitzchak that if somebody has the name Avram, his name Avram, he was called after a grandfather or whoever, but that name was ultimately came from Avram Avinu, that person may not be called Avram. But if his name has nothing to do with Avram Avinu, that just happens to be his name Avram, such a person may be called Avram and does not have to be called only Avraham. In fact, I saw that the Yamsha Shloima discusses, we know that it says in the Tzavos, Rabbeinu Yehuda Chosid, that a son-in-law and a father-in-law should not have the same name. So he discusses where there was a son-in-law and a father-in-law who both had the name Avraham, and he suggests that in order that they shouldn't have the exact same name, from now on they should call the son-in-law Avram instead of Avraham, and there is no Isser because we're not referring back to Avraham Avinu. So, but ask the Gemara, V'tana Avram Chuzo, Ein Avram Nisa Yisoyimim Elman Zeburius. We Yisoyim only have to pay Zeburius V'filahein Nezokin. So ask the Mefarshim, why did our Gemara have to ask this question from Avram Chuzo's Braisa? Our Mishnah already says Ein Avram Nisa Yisoyimim Elman Zeburius. Answer the Mefarshim, if we only had our Mishnah, we would say that our Mishnah is not referring to the case of Nezikin. When our Mishnah says that Yisoyimim pay, it's not speaking about Nezikin. But now that Avram Chuzah explicitly said that he's even speaking about Nezikin, and asked the Gemara for Nezikin, Dina Midaraisa B'Ijis. Midaraisa Nezikin have to pay from Ijis. So if there's a Chiv Deraisa, there's such a Shibud, why are Yisoyimim not obligated to pay also from Ijis? answers the Gemara, Hachamai Skinen, Kegayin Shahaisa Idyas the Nizik is a Boris the Mazik, where the Nizik's Idyas was equal to the Mazik's Ziburius. And if we follow the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, who we learned at the beginning of our Perek, that says Midaraisa with the Nizik Sheminin. So in this case, the Mazik really only has to pay Ziburius. It's only when they tikkun oilam, in order to prevent people from doing damage, tikinu rabbonim b'demazik, that Chazal say that we evaluate according to the real estate of the mazik. The Gabi Yasmi, however, since we're referring to Yisoimim, teaches us Avram Chuzah, ukma rabbona adaraisa, and they only have to pay Zeburius, which is, in this case, fulfilling the Teraisa Diga obligation. But Rava says, if it's not a deraisa, if there's a deraisa diga obligation, we're in a case where midaraisa, the Yisoimim, would have to pay idyas, the Rabbanon would not nullify that obligation. Eini, ask the Gemara another question. Here we have Rabbi Lezer Nutvor saying explicitly, Eina from Nichsa Yisoimim Elman Zaburius, and here we're referring explicitly to a case, says the Brara, a filin idjis, where the Gemara now is assuming, as we'll see in a second, that the father accepted upon himself to pay idjis, and still the Braisa says that the Yisoyim only have to pay Zeburius. And as the Mefarshim point out, this question, and the Gerash Yerachim points this out, this question is even a stronger question than the question from Ravram Chuzah, because this question is speaking exactly to the subject that Rav is speaking about, the case of Baal Chayiv. So why didn't the Gemara ask this question immediately? So he answers, and this is an important concept in understanding the methodology of our Gemara. He says, this question, of course, is a much stronger question and a much more relevant question. He said, but once we have this question and we have the answer that we're going to learn in a moment, there wouldn't be no room for the previous shak levitaria that we have in the Gemara, which the Gemara wanted to have. So that's why the Gemara brings the previous question with the answer, and now brings this question, the stronger question second, with a very strong answer. So the Gemara is assuming, as we said, that what was Rabbi Lezer Nitvar referring to? He was referring to a situation, Mayafil and Edges, Afagav Diksiv Edges Pishtara, that even though Edges is written into the Shtar, the halacha still is that from Yisoimim you collect from Zeburius, contrary to what Rava said. Says the Gemara, Loi, that's not what this case is about. This case, says the Gemara, is about my Idjis, Shafoi Idjis. And we have a Machloikus Rashi and Taifus, how to understand the case of Shafoi Idjis. Rashi explains Shafoi Idjis means a case where there was an obligation to pay Idjis, and when something happened to that Idjis that was obligated, it got ruined, it got stolen. The halacha is midaraisa, the Baal Chayiv is only obligated to pay Zeburius. Because since the field that was obligated got ruined, we say that now he only has to pay Zeburius. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos, so Shafoi means jumped away, that the idyas jumped away from him in this case. Tosfos disagrees, and Tosfos says, what's the difference if this idyas got ruined, he has other idyas, and therefore Tosfos says that the case here is referring to a situation where there is property that is a very poor property next to the riverbank. Since such land can never be used for planting, because there's always a concern that the river will flood the crops that would be planted there, it's considered extremely inferior. And what the Bryce is teaching us is that if somebody damaged such property, it's not considered like he damaged a regular case of Hezek, but rather it's considered a case of Choiv, where you pay Beinonis, which is considered a case of Choiv, not a case of Hezek. It's referring to the case of Shafoi Idyas. We're going to learn the Gemara like Rashi, that since this property that was designated got ruined, the obligation to pay from it is nullified, and he could collect from Zaburius. Kedarava, Dama Rava. Hizik Zaburius, if somebody was Mazik Zaburius, Goyva min Idjis. Shafai Idjis, if that Idjis got ruined, Goyva min Abaininus. He could collect from Abaininus. So here we're referring that he loses his right to collect from his Idjis. The Gabi Yasmi, and he goes to Baininus. The Gabi Yasmi, when we speak about Yasimim, look Mura Bona Adaraisa, where they only are going to have to pay Zaburius. So the Mishnah said, Ein Ephraim and Nixi Yasimim element of Zaburius. The Yasimim are only obligated to pay Zaburius. Ask the Gemara, Boy Rav Achduvi Bar Amri, Yasimim Shamru. When our Mishnah speaks about Yasimim, who are the Yasimim that the Mishnah is referring to? Ketanim, strictly when the Yasimim are Ketanim, or Afil Gedoilim. Do we say Takanta the Rabbanon the Avigabi Yasmi? Chazal made a special leniency for Yasimim that they should only have to pay Zaburius, Lektanim Ovid Rabbanim. And Chazal made this rule only on behalf of Ketanim, Lekdoilim Loi Ovid Rabbanim. As the Rishonim explain, it's very hard to take care of Zaburius. It's very hard to sell Zaburius. And therefore, because Chazal were concerned about Yesoimim Ketanim, Chazal said that they only have to pay Zaburius. Or, says the Gemara, Idilma Meshundalai Masik Adata de Malva. When a Malva lends money to a Loiva, he doesn't assume, he doesn't think, the Miss Loiva, that the Loiva is going to pass away, V'naflin Kamiyasi, and that the Yesoimim are going to be obligated to pay the loan. Davilei Noel Delos, that we should be concerned, as we learned before, that the reason Chazal said that you pay from Zaburius is because we're concerned about Nihilus Delos, that people are not going to want to lend money. Because that's not the normal situation. Hilchach, and therefore, Chazal, under all circumstances, said that Yusoimim, Afil Gedoilim, don't have to pay from Zaburius. Don't have to pay anything but Zaburius. The Rashba points out that this explanation only speaks to a case of a Malva and a Loiva. But when we speak about Hezek, there we have to say that it has nothing to do with expectations, with anything to do with Nihilus Delos or not, and therefore there it's certainly because of Tikkun HaOlam is what the Mishnah teaches us, that you only have to pay from Zaburius. Toshma, says the Gemara, Datani Abik Shisha, Yasimim Shamru, when Chazal speak about Yasimim, Yasimim having dinim, it's Gedoilim, Vein Tzarech Lohim Ketanim. The same din applies both by Gedoilim and Ketanim. Ask the Gemara, Vidilma, Hani Mililin Shvua, maybe when Chazal did not distinguish between Gedoilim and Ketanim, was regarding Shvua. That means, if a Malva approaches the Yesoimim of a Loiva, and there the halacha is that the Malva does not have a right to demand payment unless the Yesoimim, unless he swears to the Yesoimim. And that then applies even if the Yosim is a Godel. Because the Godel, B'mil Ravua, B'katan Dami. Because even if the Yosim Baruch Hashem is a Godel, he's not that familiar with all of his father's financial affairs. And he therefore doesn't know for sure, did his father or did his father not repay that debt. And therefore, there Chazal say that even if the Yosimim are Gedoilim, the Malva has to swear. And as the Mefarshim explained, because truthfully, the father himself, under certain circumstances, can make the son pay. Can make the son pay the, can make the loiva, can make the malvus swear. Avalin Zaburius, but perhaps regarding this obligation to pay Zaburius, loy, then we don't treat the gedoilim and the ketanim the same. Says the Gemara Hilchsa, however, the halach is, Yesoimim Sha'amru, when Chazal speak about Yesoimim, Gedoilim, Vein Tzarech Loim, Ketanim, Bein Leshvua, Bein Lezaburius, we treat Yesoimim the same, whether the Gedoilim or Ketanim. Continues the Gemara, Ein Ephraim and the Chasm Shabadim, even though we know the halach is, that if somebody accepts upon himself a debt, and he has no longer any assets, if he had sold off his assets after he had accepted upon himself this debt we collect from the Chosim Shabbatim. Says the however, our Mishnah taught us that Ein Nefrayim Nechosim Shabbatim, a Malva has no right to go to the Nechosim Shabbatim, but Makom Shesh Bnei Chayrim. Even if the Bnei Chayrim that the Loiva has is Ziburius, and as we're learning about Chayiv, has a right to collect from Beinonis, and the Loiva sold his Beinonis, still, he only could collect from his Ziburius if that's the Bnei Chayrim that he has left. Ask the Gemara, what would be the halacha if the malva, if the loiva didn't sell his assets, but he gave away his assets? Does the same then apply that the assets that he gave away are the ones to go to last, or only assets that were sold we don't have, the malva has no right to go to, but the assets that were given away as a matana, he does have a right to go to, even if the loiva still has bnei chayrim. But let's say the assets that were given away were the beinonis, and the loiva only remains with Zeburia. Do we say, takanta hu da'ov rabbonon, mishum seder l'kuchas? We don't want that somebody who bought from this loiva should lose the money, and should lose the assets that he legitimately bought, unless there is no other option. But that's only by l'kuchas, by people who bought those properties. Av matana, where somebody received these assets as a gift, not as a, they didn't buy them. The lack of pesedet l'kuchas, we don't have the concern of pesedet l'kuchas. We don't say this, loy, and therefore, even if the loiva still has the burius b'nei chayrim, the halacha would be that he's allowed to go to the mekabel matana's beinonis, oidil matani nami. Even though he got it, he didn't pay for it, every matana also is considered like he bought it. Because elab the islay hanomine, if not for the fact that somebody had some benefit from me, layav le matani, he would never give me a gift. The hilkach keeps say the lekuchas tami. So somebody who received the gift is equal in status to somebody who bought the assets, and therefore if the loiva has any assets available as poor quality as they should not be, the halacha would be you can't go to the Mekabel Matana's property before you've exhausted all of the property that is by the loiva as poor quality as it be. The Paiskim, the Rishonim point out that if we're saying that the reason we should treat a Mekabel Matana in the same way that we treat a lekuach, a customer, is because he certainly got something from this person that he gave him a gift. So it may be a difference who he gave a gift to. It may be that this din only applies if he gave a gift to a stranger, to a person who's not related to him. But if somebody gave a gift to his son, for example, or somebody gave a gift to a child, was there this consideration that he gave, that he got something in return, doesn't apply? Son, you give a gift even if you don't expect something back from him. A child, you obviously didn't get anything in return from your child. Your children, they're still minors. There, certainly it could well be that everybody agrees that a Mekabel Matana would not be considered like a Lekuach. That's the opinion of some Rishonim. Other Rishonim suggest, however, that if Chazal are teaching us that a Mekabel Matana is treated like a Lekuach, he's treated like a Lekuach under all circumstances, and we don't make any differentiation. Now we could understand, say the Mefarshim, a Rashi in Parshas Veschanan. Rashi says at the beginning of Parshas Veschanan that so the question is, the word matnas chinam seems to be redundancy. Every matana, a gift is chinam. You get a gift for free. You didn't give, the gift is not a sale. So says the Pardes Yosef. Now we understand. Tzadikim request from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, matnas chinam, a matana that they don't have to even have to give anything in return, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should just give us and not expect anything in return. Amalei makshisha bereder of Chizdal Rav Ashi, Tashma, Shchimera Sha'omar. As Shchimera says, Tnu Masayim Zuz L'Ploni. We know that if Shchimera gives away all of his assets, even if he doesn't make a kinyan, Chazal say it's considered a valid transaction. So this Shchimera says, give 200 Zuz to this person. Give a Meis L'Ploni, 300 to this individual, Vidal Meis L'Ploni, 400 to that individual. Ein Oimrim. We don't say Kol HaKodim Shtar Zochem. We don't say, so he gave away a total of $900. And we don't, well, and let's say he doesn't even own $900. We don't say, well, the first one gets his 200, and the second one gets his 300, and the third one gets his 400. We go in consecutive order. Rather, we say that since a person can't say everything at the same time, he meant that they should divide it. And if there wouldn't be $900 left with to his assets, we divide it proportionally. There is a machlokes rishonim. What would be the halacha if he gave all three of the individuals the exact same amount? And he mentioned individual A first, individual B second, and individual C third. Do we still say that they divide what there is equally? Or there we say, since they all got the exact same money, certainly the order he mentioned should be followed. Lefikach, therefore the halacha is, since he didn't mean one more than the other, Yotzalov Shtarchoiv, if there's a debt against his estate, Goiv Mekulam, they all have to pay equally, again, in the same proportion. Avalam Omar, if he said, Tenu Mazayim Zuz L'Ploini, he's specified, this one gets his 200 first, Vachrav L'Ploini, the second one gets his share second, Vachrav L'Ploini, the third one gets his share third, Oyim Kalakan Shtav Zocha. So there we say the first one gets his share first, the second one then, second, and the third one third, and if there's nothing left, or there's not enough left for the third one, so be it. Lefikach, in this case, Yotzalov Shtar Choyv, it's like in any situation of Nechos Meshibadim, that let's say somebody owed money, and he sold off all of his assets, who does the creditor go to first? He goes to the last purchaser first. Here too, Goivim and Achron. He goes to the last one who received. If Einloy, if he doesn't have enough to satisfy the debt, Goivim Shulfanov, then he goes to the person before him. And if he doesn't have enough, Goivim Shulfanov, he goes to the first individual. Now, this then applies, says the Gemara, Vafagav, the Kamabainis, even though if the first one, the Brisa, by not making any distinction, seems to be saying that even if the first one received Bainis, Ubasra, and the last one received Zaburius, so we collect Mizaburius Govi. He collect from the last person who received gift, Mabaininus, and you don't go from the previous one who has the Baininus, Loi Govi. Shmami Nadi, even though this is a case of Matana, Nami Ovid Rabbanan Takanta, that you go to the last one. And similarly, you would go to the Loiva, even if he's left only with Zaburius, even though he gave away, the loiv is left with Zaburius, and because he gave away his Beinonis as a matana. Says the Gemara, there is no proof to the case of Mekabel Matana. Because Hochamai Skinen, this price is referring to a case of a Bal Choiv. Bal Choiv, we owed these three people money. Says the Gemara, that's not what the price said. The price said, Vatnukamer, give them a gift. So the Gemara don't understand the price to mean give as a gift. What he meant to say was Tnu b'chayvi, give my, I'm paying off my debts. So the Gemara, if he's paying off his debts, then we shall see that then the decision of who gets first and who gets second should be dependent on which debt is older, which is the first shtar that was written, and which is the last shtar that was written. V'lech say shtaru the man kadim. Let's analyze which shtar was written first and which shtar was written last, and that, based on that we should decide who gets first and who gets last. Says the Gemara, the lekishtar. We don't have these shtaris here. Says the Gemara, but the Braisa used the words for kol hakoidim b'shtar kama. So there obviously is a shtar. Says the Gemara, the shtar that the Braisa is referring to is b'shtar b'kadata, the shtar that records the will of the shchimera, but not the shtari chayv. Vibayis Eima, we could say that the Brice is referring to Matana. V'loy kasha, my gaivim and achrin, what does it mean that he collects from the last one? Ein nifsar al achrin, which means as follows. It could well be that since this is a case of mekabel matana, the creditor will go to the mekabel matana that got the beninus. Now this, and let's say that mekabel matana was the first mekabel matana. Since he was the first, what will he now do in turn? He's going to turn around and go to the person who got the last gift and say, you're not supposed to get a gift until I am satisfied. And he's going to say to him, now you give up your gift because I had to give up my beininess to pay off the debt. So it could well be that in the case of Mekabel Matana, he collects the beininess. What the Braisa means to say is that at the end of the day, the one that's going to really take the loss is the last Mekabel Matana. V'boy Seima, the Brice is referring to a case, the Shavakula Adodi. We assume that the Brice was referring to a situation that not all of the properties that these Mekabele Matana from the Shemera received were of equal value. So the more they were all of equal value, there is no Beninus and Zaburius that there is a question who goes first and who goes last. We learned in the Mishnah, Eimet Sin Lachilis Teres, that if Ruvain stole a property from Shimon, and then sold that property to Levi, and then Shimon takes his stolen property back from Levi. Now Reuven is obligated to Levi. Now Reuven has a dual obligation to Levi. One is he has an obligation to pay him back for the money that he paid for the property that he had no right to sell him. But Levi had also invested and had payris from that property that he can't collect from Mishbodim. My Tama, Amr Ula Amr Shlokish, Lefish and Ksuvim. The payris are not explicitly written into the obligation, into the achrayis in the shtar. Amle Rab Ula, but our Mishnah spoke also about Mazen Ish Rabbonis, the obligation to support one's widow and daughters after his death, the commandic sividami, that every man who gets married is obligated in it by his ksuba to have this obligation, and yet the ketani emetzian, we still say that even though it's written in the ksuba, you can't collect it from a shabadim. Amale, so Ula responded, Hosom mekarach iskin. When Chazal made the rule that one's assets, one's estate, is obligated, they made the following rule. Ksuvim hay eitzel b'nei chayrim. The b'nei chayrim are obligated. Then ksuvim eitzel mishubadim. But the mishubadim never received this obligation. The ken amar of Asi amar of Yoichran, with Hishen ksuvim, they're not included in the obligation. Amalei Rav Zeira le Rav Ashi, for mazon ishva bonus, the command, the ksuvim davim, they're equally. Bektani emetzian, Amalei Sravasi explains, like we just said, they're only written that the obligation only applies to Bnei Chayrim, then Ksumeitz Mishbadim, but there is no obligation, the support obligation does not apply to Mishbadim, and therefore they don't have to, therefore, even though that they're written in the Ksuba, or since it's Nai Ksuba, it's as good as written in the Ksuba, they're not collected from Mishubadim, they're only collected from Nechayim.